Aether and Dark Saga is a dark fantasy audio fiction. It contains themes of violence and is intended for a mature audience. Listener discretion is advised. Chapter 2, Part 8. Lieutenant Merrin. Sobs faded from his ears as he, alongside his master and their new companion, strode away from the ship. The Kalendar soldiers, who had been unfortunate enough not to be slain in Fort Ironworth, had been chained and nailed to the rowing benches of the vessel, left under guard by the monstrous revenants. The ground was ash-like here, as if scorched. Small pieces of glassy sand had found their way inside of his plated boots, an uncomfortable feeling that he had dared not remedy for fear of reprimand. Ahead lay a marbled city, its bone-hued ruins still glorious after all this time. Had he already not known of his location, he would surely have guessed it was in Shariad. The stories of Sundara's ancient capital were known to him from childhood, and he, like many others, had always wished to see them.
There are vast tunnels that lay throughout the entirety of Arn. Tombs and vaults which hold great powers. I have read of ancient gods held within seals, their energies siphoned to provide their captors with power.
I understand now. You wish to employ these seals against the Gorgon.
Precisely. But we must first descend into the library. Finding the correct entrance by chance would be near impossible. Yet, as luck would have it, I have been shown the way.
The scripture.
Indeed, we need simply navigate the sands. The entrance lies just beyond the city.
Then I think it only fitting I shed this form. I grow tired of this bulbous, fleshy attire, and since all pretenses are done with.
Looking on with horror, he saw the face of Lord Draven change. It began to melt away as if it were a mask made of wax left within a kiln. Then the rest of the body followed suit, the flesh and fat merging and dripping into dense pools at his feet. A smog as dark as balefire smoke swirled around, hiding the form as it rose up and above that of the tallest height of any of mankind. After mere moments, it floated away, drifting upon an unseen wind to dissipate into nothingness. What remained was hideous to his eyes. A girthy, snake-like body with scales and underbelly as black as wet coal. A humanoid form sat atop the serpentine lower half. An alien skeletal frame could be seen beneath its pale grey skin. With strange bumps and spines similar to his master, only these rippling with corded muscles. Long, mantis-like arms ending in black pincers snipped at the air as it writhed in position. And the face, that of an inhuman skull-like visage which blurred upon his viewing, as if staring through cloudy glass. All he could make out were the purple hue of elongated eyes and the long, needle-like teeth which seemed to chatter without sound.
Yes. This place is similar to my domain, and so I shall storm its dunes like the red sands of Nergroth. In my true form, unhindered by mortal confines, for the Cameron Eye are born for suspenses. And none of the Cameron Eye are greater than I. I would normally call for subtlety, though I hardly think it matters. A child of Nezrakah would surely make short work of any who would seek to bar our path. Your minion looks perplexed, Necromancer. Pay him no heed. He is a slave. Nothing more. Come now. I see something in this one. He is self-aware. Tell me, Thrall, what worries you so? Surely one in service to this one has seen such magnificent beings such as myself before. Speak then, Meron, and answer.
I don't know what I am to ask.
Are you afraid to ask? Or are you afraid to learn the answer?
Both, I think.
I like this one, Necromancer. Though honesty is a weakness, I find, but it does not suit to speak the truth. Still, I shall give you a truthful answer. Ask away.
Back in Fort Drayden, you had command of the garrison. Why didn't you just have us surrender? Why did you flee?
Ah, I see now. You are mistaken, slaveling. My previous form was one I had taken recently. I know not of this Drayden you speak of, nor of the creature's form I assumed.
What happened to him?
Enough, Lieutenant! You were not permitted a second question.
He felt that sensation again. His new master had no need for the lash, nor use for shackles and manacles. Instead, he kept obedience through magic, and a pain unlike any he had felt previously. The burning within, the weakness, was overwhelming.
As much as I delight in your methods, Necromancer, I shall answer this one. In fact, it would be my pleasure.
The pain ending, he rose back up, hands upon his knees as he regained his balance.
After the demise of Astaroth and the pact forced upon myself and my brethren was broken, I knew it was only a matter of time before we all turned upon one another. So I made my escape, slaying a female of your kind, young and live. She was perfect. I fled through the streets as the slaughter raged around me, taken in by a group that also sought for the carnage.
He caught the look of annoyance upon Kazalan's decrepit visage. He had since learned of his master's plan to take the city of Kalimdor, and how, through trickery, he had been thwarted in his attempt. Unfortunate for the necromancer, and ultimately for himself also.
During the night, we made for the hills nearby. There, we were set upon by deserters. The cowards slew the others, but their eyes were filled with lust when they looked upon my no doubt beautiful body. That was enough to ensure my life and my secret remained intact. Once back at their camp, their leader, the man you knew as Draven, was it? Yes. He sought to go first, to which of course I agreed. In secret, of course. Once we were alone, I tore out his belly and feasted upon his bulbous flesh. Seeing this as an opportunity to hide from Balran amongst the ranks of these deserters, I assumed his form and stayed with them. Until we were captured, taken prisoner. And that is where you found me. Quite the journey. I think you'll agree.
So you were never at Fort Drayden.
Trust in nothing else I say but this. Whatever you were witness to there, the horrors which I could have wrought would have been glorious to behold.
Merrin could not fathom a fate worse than what had befallen him there, back in Fort Drayden. Yet what worried him the most is somehow he knew he would surely come to understand the sentiment, and much, much sooner than he would wish it. Orin. He loosed yet another arrow as Cormac heaved a weapon rack over the crenellations. The heavy wooden framework slamming down hard into the undead below. It trapped a small gathering under its bulk, smashing their broken bodies to pulp.
Just like old times, eh, Braymouth?
Yeah, just like old times.
Look at that one. His head's exploded.
Old times I'd much rather forget. You fucking maniac.
Come on, we made it out of there alive. This is nothing compared to Kalimdor.
These arrows are a waste of time. It's not stopping them.
Then let's just keep throwing things at them then.
Why bother? They're not getting in here.
Maybe, but we ain't getting out of here either.
Where is Kreia anyway? Shouldn't she be up here? She could roast half of these bastards through the night and down a mug of red.
Well, I knew she was good.
But fuck me, that's fast. Hey, are you fucking... What in the bloody hells was that?
Sprinting with Cormac in tow, he crossed the battlements, before sliding to a halt as the parade ground came into his view. Below, the light of one of Kreia's spells glowed even in the daylight. He'd seen her use this one before, back in the Siege of Kalimdor, and just like then, he had been standing atop a besieged wall.
You know, I'm starting to wonder if I'm cursed.
Fuck me. What is that?
He followed Cormac's arm to where the red sword pointed. Escaping from within a collapsed upper window, a spider-like creature came forth. Its arachnoid limbs were bone-like, yet curved and sharpened to points. Dripping with a dark green substance, they suited well enough to puncture plate mail. Human-like eyes formed a circle above twitching mandibles and hideous poised fangs. Its bulbous abdomen was a mass of throbbing flesh, held together by ragged stitching. As it drew near, he saw the sadistic patchwork of human faces which made up its entirety. Wailing and eyeless, the sickening moans grew louder as it descended the wall with a terrifying pace.
Cormac, we've got to help them.
Without thinking, he drew back the bow, not aiming for anything other than to hit the creature. But it was too fast. The missile sent spinning as it hit only the stonework behind it.
You just keep loosing them arrows, Braymouth.
He watched the red sword gallop down the stairs, his blade in hand heading towards Kreia and Rowan. He let fly once again, this time a glancing strike hitting a twitching mandible. The corpse made arachnid fell atop the glowing pillar of light, its sharpened limbs bouncing back as it failed to pierce Kreia's spell.
Stay back, Cormac! It can't get us in here! Keep safe! Just get inside!
Fuck me! Get back, Cormac!
Orin looked on with horror as the creature trained its attention upon the red sword. Down it came, its needle-like appendages leading the way. Gravel was sent flying into the air alongside Cormac's sword as the spider's massive bulk slammed him with force into the ground. It reared up, poised and ready to use its mismatched fangs of bone and sinew, looking to bite hard into the red sword beneath it. The man of Villaglass let fly another. This time it struck home in its raised abdomen. Then he loosed another, hitting the mark just above, digging deep into what had once been an eye socket.
Get up and run!
He was ready to draw back for another, when a blinding light caused him to shield his eyes. Kreia, her protective magics no longer in use, hurled a flurry of energy towards the beast. The lightning struck its underbelly, sending the thing sideways and away from Cormac, who was now struggling to his feet, his face bruised and bloody.
Orin! Cormac! Inside! This way!
He looked to Rowan, who had opened the door to the inner keep, beckoning them to follow. He quickly slung his bow and sprinted towards the red sword, catching him by the elbow as he did his best to support him.
Sword! Get my sword! Just leave it! We need to get inside! Not a chance, Orin! Not a chance!
Even in this injured state, Cormac was far stronger than him. The red sword tore free of his grasp and reached out for his weapon. Turning with the momentum, Orin caught sight of Kreia unleashing yet another barrage. But this time, the creature was unhindered, dodging the flurry with unnatural speed for its size and bulk.
Come on! Fucking run! Get inside! Now!
He waved his arm in a frantic motion to follow, but she did not look at him. He wanted to stop and draw his bow and do whatever he could to help her. He could not help shake the guilt, the very same guilt he had carried with him since Kalendor. Yet he knew deep down inside, Kriya was far more capable than he was. And as stubborn as the Red Sword was, Cormac needed him now.
Get here, Cormac. Let's get you safe. I told you. You'd do the same for me. But you did.
Once inside the keep, he let Rowan take over. He was better suited to act as a crutch than Orin. Although it had been some time since his imprisonment, the old hunter's body had never recovered his former strength.
Kriya! Come on! We've got to close the door!
Come on, Kriya!
Move, woman, before we're all dead!
Whether she had heard their pleas or not, Kriya ducked under a deadly swipe, unleashing yet another bolt of lightning. This one exploding in the foul beast's maw, smashing to a pulp some of its eyes and singeing its bony mandibles. As it reared back in pain, Orin smiled as he saw Kriya bounding upon light feet, heading towards the door.
Move it, lass! We've got to get this thing closed!
Come on!
Kriya!
Hrothgar. Draining the last of his mead, perhaps a little too fast, he wiped away the droplets which had fell onto his graying beard before giving out a satisfied sigh. Half of his crew had chosen to stay in Crag Algan. The three arbalists who had been with them at the behest of their thane had returned to their lord's service as expected. He did not blame the rest of them for their choices, though a small part of him wished none had agreed to make the sail to Bledig. For now, his plans to make pilgrimage to Cuth Coolin would have to wait. He quickly tucked away the drinking horn and began to take another bite of his bread, only to be stopped, mouth partially open, by Jofrik, who was now fast approaching.
Aye, Hrothgar.
What is it, Jofrik?
There's something you need to take a look at.
Can't a man enjoy his supper in peace?
As I said, maybe you should come and see for yourself.
Very well. Show me.
He slid out of the bench and followed the nervous Jofrik to the deck above. The men had gathered at the port side of the ship. A general murmuring of confusion filled the river air.
So, what is this all about?
Are you jesting?
What?
Look over there.
It's just the border fort. It looks ungarrisoned, and besides, Kalendor has enough problems to worry about besides us.
Keep watching, Hrothgar.
Do we really have time for this?
That depends on what you're all talking about. If someone needs...
A sudden flash lit the ramparts of the fort across the water. He was certain it had been lightning. It had not cracked the clouds, nor had it forked across the sky. No, this came from within the fort itself.
What in Galador's name is happening?
Witchcraft. There is no doubt.
I don't see how this concerns us. We really should make haste. After all, the Fane has waited long enough.
If someone is in need of help, Jeroff, we will not stand idle. Should we have just ignored you when you needed us?
He may short us on the payment.
These are people's lives we're talking about, merchant. We have a sworn duty to our god.
Hrothgar threw a wry smirk at Egilmar. For the entire time he had known the man, he had never been devout. He wondered if he was curious, or simply wanted to annoy their new passenger.
Your freak, take up the anchor and make to land. We shall see for ourselves.
Your will be done, Hrothgar.
The rest of you, arm yourselves and prepare. We shall see what awaits.
Well, I for one will not be joining you on this fool's crusade.
For once, we are in agreement, merchant.
Nofrik will stay aboard with you. Should we need to depart in a hurry? Now, let's go!
Anvidar. The world outside was unwelcoming. The cool air of the ruin left behind as he tread in unfamiliar garb onto ashen-hued sand. He tore off the ragged tunic, which stunk of old blood and smoke. How could this be the other world? How could this be the afterlife? Surely the halls of eternity would be a place of bounty and celebration, and not this.
Dima, where are you? What is this place?
You stand in the ruins of Anshariad.
Shandara, how?
Your body was tainted twofold. Firstly poisoned, and whilst in your weakened state, the enemy played its foul hand, corrupting your flesh with its herald.
The enemy? How? This is madness. A dream. A nightmare. You need to tell me more, Yima. Where are you? I need to see you.
I am not the one you would call Yima. I am not your love, Anvidar.
I don't understand. The ritual. Did I forsake my sanity in its undertaking?
There was no ritual. The poison took you before it could be completed. You survived because I willed it so.
Who are you? If you are not Yima, then why do you speak to me in her voice? Why torture me so?
It is you who chose my voice, Anvidar. Were I to speak to you using my own words, your mind and body would separate, and you would join with the Aetherwell for eternity.
Tell me who you are.
I have many, many names. Some simply call me God. Others, Argo-Varatan, or Arg-Valan. You, Anvidar, blood of old Dreyangorn, would know me as Galador.
Thank you.
madness. I have lost my mind.
He fell to his knees, his head aching with doubts. How could this be? Only the insane and those who deceive say they speak to the gods. And here, amongst the ruins of a destroyed nation, here he heard the voice of his patron, his god, his protection, Galador itself.
You are my champion, Anfidar, my herald here on Aethryn.
If you are truly Galador, and I have not lost my wits entirely, tell me why. Why was I chosen?
Few in this world, this Aethryn, as it is called, have suffered as you have, Anfidar. And still, in your darkest moments, in your grief and pain, you have been a defender to those in need of protecting.
I took my oath of duty, as many of us did, and many still do. I am no different to them.
It is because you think this way, because you put duty and faith above all else, that I have protected you.
I am not the only one.
I have guided you since birth, my child. Whenever you called upon me, I granted you my aid. And now, I call upon you in return. Be my champion. Be my herald, my protector. And stop the true enemy that seeks to ravage this world.
No. No.
You refuse?
I do.
I can understand your hesitation, but I know that when the time comes, your sense of duty, your very nature, will win out.
I can no more trust the words you speak than I can understand them. I refuse to be a pawn to anyone again. How dare you? How dare you use Jima so? I curse you and your very existence. I have suffered enough at the whims of others. It is my time to decide my fate.
Very well. I will watch over you, my child, as I have always done.
Be gone.
He felt a shifting, as if the breath in his lungs suddenly became heavy, and he coughed in response. Then, the thirst was there once again, all-consuming. He must find water. Nighttime had fallen by the time he reached a well. The walls had crumbled inwards and had been hidden by the ash-coloured sand that carpeted this place. Were it not for a recently discarded bucket, rusted and dented to near uselessness, he would surely have given up. Cold and refreshing beyond any other liquid, the water felt near euphoric as it filled his dry mouth. Taking a moment to breathe, he poured the liquid down. He washed it over his chin and over his overgrown beard. It was then, in the midst of his refreshment, did he hear it. Cries of pain in the distance. Wails of agony. And amongst them, voices. Perhaps this was his way back to Kalendor. Or perhaps a reason to hide. Do you want to hear the next episode a week earlier than the regular feed? Do you want exclusive lore and bonus content? Well, if so, please consider joining the Patreon. From as little as $2, you can have all of those things, as well as the warm, fuzzy feeling inside knowing that you've helped pay for the hosting fee, the fee for a voice actor, or even some sound effect packs. Please consider joining me and look for a link in the show notes.